dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Hello there, SVC fans, and welcome in once again to show 212 of the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. I'm Bruce Knox, along with these two other gentlemen that I'll introduce just momentarily. But first, I want to tell you that we are brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center, located in Chillicothe, 1 Nancy Wilson Way, right off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn, open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. You can get all kinds of good eats and have all kinds of fun there. Give them a call at 740-773-7529 or look them up on the web at www.triplecrownfamilyfuncenter.com. They are our billboard sponsor and have been now for 7 years, Shane. That's a long time, lots of shows, and we really appreciate their support. Speaking of Shane Combs, he is one of our hosts. Say hello to Shane. How are you?
Oh, doing great, Bruce. And you say that each week at the beginning. We certainly don't want to take that for granted. You know, Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all the support that they give us, certainly they're the ones that make SVC Sports Talk able to exist and over the last 7 years, and we love it, and we're looking forward to many more years to come, hopefully.
And they bring you great guys like our other host, Mr. D.R. Webb, Dr. Webb, Derek Webb of the Chillicothe Gazette. How are we, Derek?
Hey, it's enjoying life as a doctor, Bruce. You know how it is.
Are you on call this weekend?
I'm on call this week. If anybody's got some medical needs, let me know, and I'll call the Adina.
The doctor is in. Yeah, we'll have to, you know, it's way before your time, but there was WKRP in Cincinnati, and they had Dr. Johnny Fever, and we ought to start treating Derek just like Johnny Fever. The doctor is in. Well, guys,
my name's not as cool as Johnny Fever,
though. No, it is. Certainly not. No. That's true. It's been a great week, particularly a great weekend. We finished up the boys' regular season, and the girls have started postseason. Shane, why don't you give us kind of a quick recap, if you can, and about the show 211 where we talked about our girls' all-league show.
Well, yeah, basically, guys, I mean, as always, I think that when we do something like this, you know, we're always going to be, you know, ridiculed. I don't know, 75 to 90% in agreeance with the official list. And then, as you just joked there, Bruce, yeah. Obviously, emails are going to fly in. Individual conversations around the week are going to go. I think some of the major things, I think the everyone could agree at the top of the first team there. I think at the bottom of the first team, there were some differences on how maybe people looked at Piketon, and that's certainly fine. You know, Avery Reuter and Grace Slido are both tremendous kids and tremendous athletes. And as I said last week, I think both played a huge role in really what I thought was an overachieving year for Piketon. And then as you got down through second team and third team, I think the other thing that jumped out, Derek, was we said all year long, you could watch the top six kids for Uniota play three times in a week, and you could leave the gym and rank them in a different order every night. It's just the balance that they play with. And then I was glad to see Hannah Stark honored down there at the bottom of the third team. I don't know. Kelsey Dunn was probably the biggest statistical snub when you consider where she's at in scoring and rebounding and leading the league in blocks. But I think a lot of that has to do with Alexi Wood's injury and Paint Valley dropping into standings. And then, Kelsey McDonald there on the third team, obviously, as I said last week, certainly I thought was Hunnicutt's second most talented player. So I certainly don't have any confusion or any problem with her being there. So, I think the coaches did a solid job. As always, when you're doing this, you start to get 16 to 18 to 20 to 22 names down, and only 15 kids can make it. So, you know, you're always going to have some kids go to the honorable mention. But I thought overall, job well done by the coaches, and certainly a solid list there for the ladies.
I'm going to go off script here, Shane, for both of you guys. And, you know, there was a lot of things that happened this past week in the SVC. What do you think stood out most? We'll go to Derek first. What was the highlight, the one highlight, Shane? Derek?
Well, I mean, you know, I think you obviously have to look at, you know, the accomplishment that Dylan Swingle, you know, there at Paint Valley, got and kind of passed Matt Combs, Shane's brother there. I mean, you know, you look at Matt Combs' career. If you really go back and look at it and you do your research, and, you know, go back and read the old articles on, you know, newspapers.com or whatever it is. And I'm really sounding like a nerd here, guys.
Yeah,
but, you know, if you really go back and do that, I mean, Matt Combs had an outstanding career. And when you think about Dylan Swingle breaking that record in our modern era, while he's being double and triple teamed every night long or every night, you know, that he gets out on the court, I mean, that's quite the accomplishment. So we might have seen something this week on Friday night. That we may never see again. You know, I'm not saying it will never happen, but you look at Matt's record, it stood for 26 years.
Yeah.
So if you, I mean, if you take 26 years from now, that's a pretty big accomplishment.
Shane, your thoughts?
Well, I think he and I are on the same path when I was just thinking of the historical ending to what's going on in some careers and so forth. When you look, he mentioned Dylan and I was there that night. What a special atmosphere that was. And then you look at what Uniota caps off and what that senior class does. And then you look at what Ella Skeens is doing. We're taping here on Sunday. The snow pushed her game to the day. She passes Kelly Downs for Southeastern's all-time leading scorer. I mean, you know, Derek, that's going back 30 plus years, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, you're back into the 80s. It was so neat to listen to Tom and Mike and Tom talk about her game today and her ability to score. And now we're watching Ella. Now Ella goes into her next game needing, I think it's 16 points to catch Crystal Tharp. It's just, it's crazy. You know, we'll get to this later our fast break, but it was we're talking about, you know, sometimes we overvalue points and so forth. You know, I'm sure we always overvalue points sometimes, but I think when you're talking about in the history of a 50-60 year conference, when you start talking about this level of points, I don't know that you can give it enough coverage. It's just it's such a unique thing. So the historical touch. You know, even with the tournament starting, Bruce, even with the boys' league finishing up, the historical touch, if you will, that this past weekend's had and is still going to have moving forward is pretty special.
Yeah, and the streak really hit a spot with me. I just stopped and thought about that for Uniota. I mean, those kids. I guess they know what it's like to lose an occasional game, but just that many league games and to do that, that's got to be unprecedented.
Well, it is. We've talked about it before. Just it's so remarkable to think in a game of basketball, you know, does the flu bug hit your locker room one week? Does the other team hit 13, 14 threes on you one night? Does someone turn an ankle in the second quarter and they can't come back, or, you know, whatever it might be? I mean, it's just it's insane. And to think that I don't even know how many close calls they had outside of the Paint Valley game at home. Maybe Zane Trace away a little bit late, but this particular year, you know, they just they really stood up to the challenge and answered the bell each time out. It's a remarkable thing to think that I know for Swackhammer it was 4 years, but really this Big Four on a 3 year run here together to never lose a game, just remarkable.
It was a historic week, and certainly enjoyed kind of be on the outside looking in, watching you guys tweet and post and the sports coverage and everything. It's the SVC basketball is pretty daggone strong and pretty fun to watch for me anyway. Well, Shane, let's go on to our Learn the Website segment. It's brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club.
Yeah, Crown Hill Golf Club, 740-986-4653. Again, we're coming up, getting closer and closer. Spring practices there start tomorrow. You know, baseball
is gearing
up here. And obviously, that tells you that the golf course is going to be ramped up here soon, sooner rather than later. Make sure you give Crown Hill Golf Club a call, 740-986-4653. Tell them SBC Sports Talk sent you. And guys, as we learn the website, we've talked all year pointing people to our 1,000-point page, to our junior high pages, to our JV pages. And I want to make sure, as our league races have now capped off, I want to make sure people know where to go to look back at history, at our archives, for the entire SVC league history in terms of your league champions, your player of the years, your coach of the years, and so forth. And all you do is when you're on the homepage, like you would normally do to go check our scoreboard, you click on your boys or girls basketball, depending on which one you want. So if you're on the boys page there, down on the right side, it'll say basketball history, and it'll tell you that it's a place for SVC basketball score, standing, stats covered over the past 9 seasons. Now, again, we're in year 10 here on SVCSportsZone.com. And when you hit click to see, that brings you to your archives page. And for every basketball nerd like myself or Derek or whatever, this is a great page because you get links to our SVC stats leaders going all the way back to 08, 09, and as well as our scoreboard pages back on 2008, 2009. And then up top, it'll say click here for SVC boys basketball history, champs, coach of the year, player of the year. And when you hit that, you'll see that I've just added Uniota in there at 14-0. Over on the girls' side, I've added in our co-champions. And then for our girls, because we do know on the official list, we've went ahead and put in not just Uniota Southeastern 13-1 there, but we put in Ella Skeens becoming our first 4-time winner of that award. And then, Mike Adams over there on the coach of the year side. So it's a really neat page to go back through the years. When I look down through those names, and I start to see some of our multiple winners and different things, it really reminds you of some good basketball. I look down through that list and I think of Lydia Bridenball, 3-time winner, and how Braden Collins is going to be chasing her down next year. You look down through there, Emily Hammond, I know you did a piece on just a while back, Derek, and there's just some really, really cool names to go down through there on the girls' side. So those pages, again, just something that we want to offer on our website. And if you're a little bit new to the website, maybe you didn't know about those. So it's a great chance to learn the website and to look back there at the history of our league.
You had a note here, Shane, about how long we had been playing, the amount of time. What was the significance of that?
Well, I think the main thing on that page, when I look, the girls, I'm glad you mentioned that, Bruce. Thank you. The 1976 to 77 there on the girls' side.
Uh-huh.
I look back at the boys' page, our league goes all the way down to 62, 63. Mm-hmm. But keep in mind, when you go to the 1,000-point club pages, you're even getting into some of the schools. Like when we look at our schools list, for example, even though we might not have been playing in the SVC yet.
Yeah.
You get your Frankfurt Clarksburg guys there on Adena, mm-hmm. and some of those guys are going back into, I see some 50s there, and then I know in the Paint Valley, Twin had some outstanding basketball teams. They're going back into the early 50s, and the Wakefield down there at Piketon, the Drexel Williams from 55 to 58. There's just some really cool things. Zane Trace, Centralia. So it's insane when you think about some of these numbers that we're following, and maybe sometimes you feel like we do numbers you to death on here. Yeah. It's amazing to me when I just think of how long basketball has been played. And I think a lot of times what happens too with some stats is, they haven't been kept as accurately, where that scorebook has been kept, mm-hmm. So you feel comfortable with the different things that have been kept over the years, or since the 3-point line. Brandon Kennedy just had that special milestone the other night as well, Derek, that you did such a good job covering of, again, since the 3-point line there in the late 80s, the scorebook is something that can document the three-point shot, where maybe the rebound or maybe the assist or maybe the steal hasn't quite been kept as accurately over that long a period going back into the 70s to the 60s and 50s and so forth. So, with the way film has grown and so forth. So I think that's the thing that blows my mind is I think of how much I've studied it for the last 10 years. I think about how much I've watched it the last 30 years. But when I think it's a whole generation or two ahead of me or beyond me, that's awesome to me to think about.
All right. We're going to move into our fan feedback. This is brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment. Give them a call, 740-477-9828. And they are your SVC school apparel source. Also have fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and sports equipment. And, of course, they're now offering custom screen printing, custom embroidery, corporate wear, and they've become a more full-service sporting goods store. And you want to give them a call. You can like them on Facebook and follow them as they just completed their moving sale, and details about the move will be coming shortly, I am sure. So that is C&K Athletic Equipment. Well, our fan feedback this week, it's by far the biggest topic this week is going to be our boys all SVC selections. So we're going to head straight that way. And if you were with us in our last show, 211, we did the girls SVC, all SVC selections. And we did it in this similar fashion that we're going to do tonight. We're first going to talk overview from both of the guys. Then we'll go to coach of the year, then player of the year and the rest of the first team. Follow up with the second team and then our third team. And at that time, the guys can include any of their list of honorable mention kids that they might have on the radar when they're finishing up here. And the question I have is, will one Derek Webb actually give an order this week rather than, just throw him out there?
It's going to be a mystery.
Does he have the viscera to do that? But first, we'll get into the overview. No names yet, but your overall thoughts in the process this year, Derek?
Well, I mean, look, I think, Shane, I think you would agree with me when you look at, especially like in a player of the year, I think the girls was kind of pretty much well determined before the season, as long as Ella Skeens, did what Ella Skeens does. I mean, she didn't get injured, no injury. Continue her scoring pace, all that good stuff. I think we both kind of knew coming into last week, hey, Ella Skeens is the player of the year. This year with the boys, I mean, I think there's a sense of that, but I think there's also a little bit more parity. And I don't know about you, Shane, but for me, I found on my honorable mention list, I've got about 10 to 12 names to where I had maybe 5 to 6 for the girls. And a lot of those 10 to 12 names, again, just like last week, I think I could put them on a second or a third team. There's maybe the first two or three on my second team could really go on a first team. But I don't know. I don't know about, like I said, well, I'll wait for you, Shane, to kind of tell me about yours. But I think my first five are pretty solid. But again, my next two or three could really, it's kind of like you're snubbing them. But you really can't replace anybody in my top five. So, as usual, Bruce, I mean, just such a tough process, such a kind of a rigorous kind of a scoring system that I do. And always somebody gets snubbed. So many good players in our league. We're just lucky to get to watch them play on a weekly basis.
Shane, your thoughts on the overview?
Yeah, I think we started the show talking about the historical value of our league. I think obviously the historical value played a big part in the way I looked down through my list. I think that certainly played a role in the way I put my list together. I thought when I got to 5 through 11, I thought that was really intriguing to me because you had a bunch of kids that are going to be on second team, obviously, in that mix. But when you say 5 through 11, you have someone who's got to go as high as first team. But then on 11, you got to go all the way to third team. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting to me in terms of how I tried to sort that out. But Yeah, I see also what you're saying, Derek, is you get down through the bottom. I was pretty confident in, say, my top, 12, 13 kids.
Uh-huh.
But when you get to 14, because obviously we're taking it to 15, so when you stretch it to, say, 13, 14, 15, now all of a sudden it is very, very easy to stretch that out to probably 20, 21, 22 names because you do have some depth on some of these teams, particularly 2 through about 6 in the league. You have some depth of some kids that or some kids that maybe came on the second half of the year that didn't necessarily have all league years, but they certainly really pushed themselves onto my radar the second half of the year and certainly will be future all league players in this league, maybe just not here in 2018.
Sure.
All righty, let's get into the meat and potatoes of this. Let's start off with the coach of the year, and I think last week we went with Derek first, so we're going to go with Shane first on this.
That's fine, guys. As always, as a coach myself, I always ask for just a little leadway here so I can highlight all of our programs. The one thing I wanted to say with Westfall, with Huntington, with Edina, these are all programs that were really taking off. I think we all agree that all those programs are much improved this year. If you look at the way, Westfall went through a terrible injury last year that set them back a little bit. And, now they're coming back. They're building up nice JV team. You look at Coach Snyder at Huntington, obviously, the second half of the year, the way they competed with people, no surprise there. Can't wait to see what they're going to look like a year from now. And then, I just love what Coach Bradley's done there at Edina with the young nucleus. He certainly started to separate himself a little bit from that bottom, and I really think a year from now that program's just going to really take off.
Yeah.
You look at Southeastern, same way. I think I love their draw. I love what they're set up to do. They're in the middle. Again, Coach Shoemaker, when you look at Paint Valley over the history of that program, you take all the twin days out, you just take only the Paint Valley, there hasn't been a lot of winning done. And it's not by coincidence that a lot of the winning that has been done has been under Coach Shoemaker there in the early 90s. And then again now, obviously Coach Kello back at Zane Trace, his resume speaks for himself. Coach Legg, what he's done at Piketon. I think those are two programs that are here to stay for a long, long time. But obviously, guys, the coach of the year here is a no-brainer. It's a former teammate of mine, Matt Hoops. What he's done, I know the talent's there. I'm not going to sit here and act like this is about program development or about all this or about talent or developing talent or whatever. I get it. I mean, I know people are going to say, he has talent. When I start down my list here in a second, you're going to say, well, how in the world – are you going to put these kids here and he's the coach of the year? Well, he's coach of the year because when you're dealing with 15, 16, 17-year-old kids and you get them to understand all of those distractions, all of these different things that they take on, that's not easy. That's not an easy thing to do, and he's been able to do it. He's been able to get them to sacrifice the me for the we, and that's just a real impressive thing. The 69 straight – is just I can't even comprehend it at times when I stop to break it down. And so that makes this a pretty easy selection here as far as I'm concerned, Derek.
Derek, your coach of the year?
You were right on the same page. I mean, look, there's no better coach in the league right now in terms of, first of all, winning streak, first of all, history. If you look at the historic implications that Matt Hoops is really, kind of coming up on now. Shane, I don't know about you. I don't think 69 games or even, whatever they, stretch it to next year, that'll never be beat. I mean, if that streak is beat, I would bet my next four paychecks. I don't get paid much, but I get bet my next four paychecks that streak's never beat. To me, that's the greatest streak, winning streak in the SBC's history. And Matt Hoops is right at the forefront of that. I think Shane really kind of, maybe hit the X's and O's on the head, why he's a great coach, why he does such a good job of his players. But, I would even go a step further and say he's just a classy guy. I mean, I interview a lot of coaches, throughout the season, and I'm talking about every sport, every season of the year, both SBC, SOC, FAC, whatever league you want to talk about. There's none classier than Matt Hoops. Every time I talk to him, he's always giving credit to his kids, to his fan base, to his parents. So I mean, just from what Shane said, from the X's and O's, and just because of the type of person for me that Matt Hoops is, Shane nailed it on the head. There's it's a no-brainer. It's Matt Hoops.
All right, we've got Matt Hoops under both columns now. Let's go to the player of the year, and then of course the rest of your first team. And Derek, we're going to let you lead off this time.
Well, I guess I have the pleasure of leading off this time, right, Bruce?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Thanks so much for that. you know, if we're going player of the year first, you know, look, guys, people know I'm high on Dylan Swingle, and I'm going to stay high on Dylan Swingle. I think that, you know, in our conference, he is the epitome of once-in-a-lifetime player. You look at the way that he, you know, really dictates opponents' game plans each night, each and every night, whether it's conference or out of conference. He does more in that sense than any other player does in the league. When you think of first of all, he's the SVC's all-time leading scorer now, as we said earlier. But he's done that, again, double and triple teamed throughout his entire career. Averages the double-double throughout his entire career. I know a lot of people say, well, he's 6'11", he's 300 pounds, he's supposed to. Well, you know, there's a lot of kids out there that are 6'11", you know, in the state of Ohio right now that's not playing basketball, and they're not coordinated. They can't, you know, hit water if they fall out of a bucket if they're on the basketball court. Dylan Swingle has put in the work. He's a great kid off the court. And that you're not even putting that in his basketball sense. There's a reason that Dylan Swingle is going Division I to play NCAA basketball, and that's because he's the best player in our conference. You know, he's a two-time player of the year. You know, and to me, I think he should win that outright. Again, you know, no player garners as much attention defensively as Dylan Swingle, and no player has accomplished as much as Dylan Swingle has throughout his four-year career now. And we're looking at the conference's all-time. There's none. There's in scoring, in a scoring sense, there's never been anybody better. Dylan Swingle's at the top of that list now. And, you know, to me, he's the player of the year. If I go down, that'd be one. If I go down two through five, you know, right close to Dylan Swingle for me is Logan Swackhammer from Uniota. Does so much for that program, runs the offense, you know, really creates opportunities for his teammates. He's the epitome of making his teammates better. A point guard that scored 1,000 points. He holds the county record for steals. He holds the Uniota record for assists in a single season. He will hold it in a career after his next game. I think he's one or two away. You know, and again, just like Dylan, Logan is such a good kid, such a good person, you know, off and on the court. I know a lot of criticism that's kind of against Logan. That, you know, he maybe plays a little bit with some swagger. Maybe plays with a little bit of a cockiness, confidence, if you want to say. But I like it. When you watch Logan Swackhammer play, I'm taking that kid on my team any day. You know, just because of the tenacity that he brings on both the defensive and the offensive sides of the floor. So I can't stress this enough. You know, both of my top two kids, Dylan Swingle and Logan Swackhammer, pretty much neck and neck. But, you know, I think Dylan kind of gets that nod there. Logan, but you know, right on his heels. Then you look at my number three, Shane. And by the way, Bruce, we're doing this in order. I'm just letting you know.
Good.
So
let's see if you stick with it the rest, Bruce, of the.
On yeah, down. Right. That's the toughest assignment. My number three is Paikton Tanner Perdue, early player of the year candidate. You know, 1,000-point scorer. I know he's only been in this league 1 year now after transferring from Western, but boy, has he made that that such a difference in that of Paikton's offense. You know, Tanner just is a pure scorer. He creates his shots wherever from the floor he wants to, and he makes his teammates around him better. But if you're looking for a bucket late in the game, if Evan Legg is looking for a bucket late in the game, he gives the ball to Tanner Perdue, and Tanner Perdue consistently produces. I really think, you know, he can kind of carry the Red Streaks, maybe even a district title this year. I think they've got the best shot maybe at anybody in terms of a tournament draw and winning a district crown. There's a reason for that, and Tanner Perdue is the reason. He's my number three. My number four on the list, I got to go with Brandon Kennedy, the career leader now in 3-point field goals in Uniota's history. if you look at his shooting percentage, as of right now, he's third all time in the OHSAA and from beyond the arc. That's pretty incredible. I don't think we've seen a player like that. Right now, he would finish as first in the SVC's history in terms of shooting percentage from beyond the arc. But Shane, when you go 56-0 in your SVC career, and you play with the talent that Brandon does, because he does have a Logan Swack hammer, he does have a Gabe Fisher, Peyton Hill to play with. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, he plays with a lot of good other players. Well, that's fine, but he still has to knock down the shots. And he's done that consistently. He also is a guard that rebounds exceptionally well. He can pass. He can play defense. To me, if he's not in the top five, that's a snub to me for Brandon Kennedy. So he's been number four. And number five, I'm going with Zane Trace, who finished second in the league this year, I believe 11-3, with Isaac Beam. Their big center. In the middle, maybe not so big though. If you look at him in stature, kind of a Mighty Mouse, if you would. If you look at him against a center like Swingle or a center like, like a Triton Davidson on his team. Maybe not. He doesn't have the height, but he just works his butt off every game. He's maybe the most consistent player in the league. Every game I've covered him, I can just go ahead and write down in my book 14 points, 11 rebounds, and he just produces. I mean, it's just there. So again, I go Dylan Swingle, Player of the Year. Number two, Logan Swackhammer. Number three, Tanner Perdue. Number four, Brandon Kennedy. Number five, Isaac Beam.
Okay, Shane, your POY, and then the rest of your first team.
Well, guys, when I start at the top, I'll be honest. I didn't think it was that tough a decision. I had tweeted out Friday night that Dylan Swingle was unlike anything that we've ever seen in this conference, and that's just the way I feel about it. You're talking about a kid that his size, his skill set, his ability. When you look at his accomplishments, just individually with points and rebounds, but just really the way he impacts the game from the moment he walks on the floor. You know, we've seen great guards in our league before. We've seen great forwards. We've never seen anything like this at this talent level. Just to be able to do the things that he can do. And it's just, it's been an absolute pleasure to watch him grow up and to watch him develop, to watch him handle himself, to watch him stay at Paint Valley and do this. Really, really, really cool. I could sit here and do an entire show on him. But that's, I think the accomplishments speak for themselves. So to me, it's a real no brainer with how you get started at the top. Then as you start down your list, I think this is where, Uniota's team accomplishments, even though these are individual awards, I think this is where Uniota's historical team starts to just completely take over my list. Let's start there in the two hole with Logan Swackhammer. I like that in the two hole with Logan. Logan's kind of one of the reasons why this can work when you start talking about, basically you have about three or four guys there that could have went out and gotten 20 anytime they wanted. And the reason the ball is able to spread so much is you have a point guard that has the ability to see the floor. He's such a willing passer. Later in his career, started to look for his shot more. Probably ended up being their leading shot taker, but he still did it in a way where he could distribute and get people involved and do things. And as I got to know Logan, I think the number one thing, I've said this before, the number one thing that Logan and these Uniota kids that have won my respect over, in terms of the winning, is just how hard they work at the game year round. The amount of time they put into it and the way they developed is really a special thing. When I know how much the game means to me, that's something I can really, really respect. The one break I will give on the Uniota run here is I think Tanner Perdue is just too special a player not to get himself included into here. Tanner Perdue is a kid that can really, really score. Tanner's a kid that I was really high on as a freshman. And I think, I know Piketon people were really upset in the preseason because they felt like a lot of people were overlooking them. I think a lot of people simply didn't know who Perdue was and what he meant coming back. This kid is a dynamic player. He can really score. He can rebound. He can defend. Plays with a great motor. And I just think I just think he's been a welcome addition back to our league because he's really increased the product in our league this year. He's had some incredible performances, and in no way you're going to get outside the top, you know, three, in my opinion, top five for sure, and not get him on there. And then I'm going to finish off my first team, Bruce, with Brandon Kennedy and Gabe Fisher as teammates. Brandon Kennedy. Here's something a lot of people don't understand. I talked earlier why it can work. You know, why can this work over a 3-4 year run? Well, it works when you have kids like Brandon Kennedy. Brandon Kennedy shoots over 50% from the floor. Okay, like he took 9 shots there tonight and had 20 points. I mean, you know, he's a kid that he defends. He can create shots for teammates. His ball handling and his playmaking abilities improved so much over the last couple of years. I mean, here's a kid that if he was able to get off another 7-8 three-pointers a game, could you imagine what this kid would have done in his career? You know, when Derek puts these videos out there, I'm the kind of basketball nerd or whatever, you know, I could just watch this kid catch and shoot with that release all night. I mean, it's an absolute thing of beauty. I mean, it's the type of thing you almost want to take and, like, show young kids, hey, like, when you're in the gym practicing, see these feet, see these shoulders, see this release, do that every time. You know, it's really something special. And I think Brandon has really probably been one of the most overlooked players in the 69 straight. If you go all the way back to all of Coach Hoops' teams, I think you can almost label Brandon Kennedy as the most overlooked or underappreciated kid in the entire run. Now, when I get to the fifth spot, obviously, you know, they call it the big four for a reason. You know, you have the Gabe Fisher, you have the Peyton Hill. I went Gabe Fisher just simply based on the run that this kid has been on over the last, 2 months, Derek, has been unreal to me.
Yeah.
It's like the light bulb went off around Christmas. When this kid blocks the shot, like I'm thinking of a play in my mind over at Chillicothe this year.
Ugh.
There's a couple there at home when I watched the Amanda game down from floor level. It's like he's mad at the basketball. I mean, it's just it's relentless to the ball. I mean, he is rebounding his defense, and then now he's added the ability to score. I'm certainly a huge fan of Peyton Hill. And Peyton's just offensive skill, and I do think it's fair. I do think it's fair to say that you know, Peyton Hill's presence in the post and Peyton Hill's junior season that he had, maybe occasionally will get Gabe Fisher a little bit more of a favorable matchup, or, you know, some freedom to fly around a little bit looser. That's fair, but I still think just in terms of production, there's only one spot left there, and I think it has to belong to Uniota. And if anyone has problems with Uniota being that high, I would just say, look at the games over the last 3 years, and I think they've proven that they've dominated those. So it's going to take special players to root them out of the top spots in our all league list, and I think Dylan Swingle being our player of the year, Tanner Perdue being our number three, certainly are those types of players. So again, I'll go Swingle, Swackhammer, Perdue, Kennedy, and Fisher.
All right, we move on to our second team, and we're going to let Shane do this one first because he puts them in order.
Well, speaking of order, I guess I've already given myself away a little bit there.
Yeah, you kind of have.
I'm gonna go ahead and stay with my Uniota. I'm gonna make it 4 out of 6, and I'm gonna go Peyton Hill.
Biased.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it coming out. Yeah, I mean, like, why you got 4 out of 6? And I'm thinking, well, you know, they play 14 of these things every year. They seem to win them all. I don't know. But Peyton, look, Peyton's so skilled. If you've had an opportunity to see him play against some of the highest level of competition over the last 2 years, his feel for the game. Like, I think his line the other night, you talk about, again, the sacrifice that these kids make to win. The other night, I think he gets 2 shots, Derek. He makes them both. I think they're both dunks. Mm-hmm. And he has like 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks, or, you know, whatever. It's just, you know, his ability just to kind of fit in and play, because he's just such a special talent. He can just blend in and play. His ability to play when the season's on the line. And that Paint Valley scare, I know he was huge down the stretch. he hit maybe one of the biggest shots during the 69 game winning streak. When you consider the 3-pointer he hit to cut it to, I think, a 4-point lead to one, late in that game. Just so again, his ability to shove big. I know in the convo last year he showed up and played really special at times, and I just can't say enough about his talent. And I just think when you consider what these four have done, maybe I know there's going to be a ton of people out there who think it's way overkill to put four in the top six, and that's okay. You know, it's my list. You know what I mean? Make your own list. but that's just kind of the way I feel about it. I think that. I think that with Dylan at the top's a no-brainer to me. And I think, it takes a special player, special production to split these kids up, and that's why I put Tanner Purdue where I did. But starting my second team here, I'll go Peyton Hill. Then I get my two Zane Trace kids in. Obviously, I don't want to overlook what they have done. Zane Trace has had a special year, and I think that they're in for a tough out in the tournament. I'll go Cam Evans and Isaac Bean back-to-back. Cam Evans, one of the really bright stars in our young bright stars in our league, playing the point there, mixing it up with his scoring and with his playmaking ability as well, in improving as a defender all the time, even showing late in the year his ability to start to add the perimeter shot, which I think that's his final step going into his final 2 years, is the consistency from the perimeter. Once he adds that, he'll be impossible to keep in front off the dribble. And then being What a terrific player this kid is. I certainly have no problem with where Derek put him. Certainly a top eight player, and I think any of these eight players had a fight for that first team spot. So where Derek put him is more than fair. Incredible feat. So good with the ball fake. Again, the efficiency. I don't know how many times I see a night where he is 7 for 9, 6 for 8. 5 for 7 from the floor, where these guys that do it with so few opportunities allow their team to play with such balance and such efficiency. And I think he's the type of kid that does that. Now, as I get to the bottom, remember what I said in my overview, how 5 through 11 gets really, really tricky, because it may not matter here in these next three spots, but it certainly matters when one or two of them have to slip to 13. To me, I'm going to go Bryce Newland here. I think when I look statistically, when I look at Bryce scoring up around 16 a game, one of our top 3-point shooters, he also rebounds it at a double-double average per night. I just think Bryce becomes a no-brainer there. And I'm the first to admit, sometimes maybe I get a little biased on the Paint Valley side. I think some people talked to me about that on my girls list last week, Bruce. But I think sometimes what happens with your bias is you get caught in the middle. Derek, maybe sometimes with bias, you think that, all right, well, am I too biased in giving them this? Well, sometimes you can go biased the other way and you end up cheating them. It's kind of like, see if I can throw a Mac Holmes analogy in here on you. Sometimes it.
Prepare yourself, folks. Go ahead.
Here's a good one. It's kind of like the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Okay, like I didn't care who won the Super Bowl, but you knew as well as I did when those two replays came up, neither one of them were catches by NFL standards, but you know as well as I did that if they change those calls, could you imagine the dialogue of, oh, here we go again, it's the Patriots, cheating and getting the NFL and so forth. So what happens is, in reality, the Patriots actually were the ones that got cheated in the Super Bowl off of those two replays. Well, it's the same way here. I certainly am not going to go the other way and cheat a kid. I understand that Bryce is a baseball player of mine, but as a basketball, fan, or as someone who just tries to analyze the game, I'm the first to say that, Bryce is a top 10 player, averages a double-double, has unlimited range, and really stretches the floor. So I understand he gets the benefit of playing with Dylan Swingle. I understand that there's been two or three nights where he's been shut out, but I guess I would argue that those coaches thought enough of him to dictate a part of their game plan to shutting him completely down in order to beat Paint Valley on those nights. And then my final spot, I'm going to go Elijah McCloskey. Elijah for a lot of the same reason. Now, there's two or three people that are going to start third team that have a huge argument for this spot that finished ahead of Elijah in the standings. I just think individually, Elijah was basically the only one with varsity experience coming back. He had the kitchen sink thrown at him defensively. Some of his averages were down where he was hurt or sick in the first quarter of games and was unable to play. So some of his averages, if you would average them out by about 19 or 20, would be a little bit more realistic on what he actually scored. He had some special performances, led him to a win over Westfall with a high 20s game, a win over Southeastern with a 30s game, 30-plus game. Really had Southeastern beat a second time he fouled out, and that, again, showed his value there in the final 3-4 minutes of that game. I think Elijah is a kid that separates himself just a little bit there. But again, that's going to be tight. I know there'll be some criticism there as we get to that 9th, 10th spot, but that's fine. I'm going to go Hill, Evans, Beam, Newland, McCloskey.
All right. Two things that come to mind after listening to that, Shane. One yeah. is the coefficient of appropriateness for the Matt Combs analogy was high. I give you kudos for that. And then for you, Derek, as Ted as Ted Knight said in Caddyshack, well, we're waiting. Go ahead.
I'm just going to let you know again. These are in order, Bruce, and we're on like number 6 through 10. So I'm just letting you know.
Okay.
I'm becoming more like Shane Combs.
These are in order.
Each minute passes. Yes.
Okay. Good deal. We're getting somewhere,
now,
Shane.
They are different than Shane's, which I think is good for discussion and good for the show.
Sure.
I put Gabe Fisher as number 6 for me. He was really on that borderline, like you where you put him, Shane, at number 5. When you talk about a kid who's rebounding 19 times a game, 16 times the next game, 11 times the next game, and then 18 times the next game, this kid's not human at that point. Huh. He's the most athletic player in the league, pound by pound. And he's just become such a big part of Unyoda's success. I'll tell you this. If Gabe Fisher plays well in a tournament, Unyoda does well in a tournament. And I hope Gabe's not listening. I don't want to put like extra pressure on him. But if Gabe Fisher plays well, Unyoda plays well. If Gabe Fisher gets in foul trouble or he doesn't play well, Unyoda struggles. And that's going to happen throughout the rest of the year for me. That's the key to me for Unyoda's tournament success is Gabe Fisher's play. Because over the second half of the season, Gabe Fisher's absolutely been phenomenal. Matt Hoops told me, you mentioned it, Shane, after Christmas, just something kind of clicked. And, obviously he's got to come back in shape for football, kind of get back in basketball shape.
Right.
That's two different things. Matt Hoops told me real close to Christmas or after a little bit after Christmas, it happened then. And we've seen the dividends for the Sherman so far. And I think that will continue to happen. He's got his head on straight. I'm telling you, man, this kid is somebody who could play at the next level. And I hope he really does because he's got that type of talent. I went to Gabe Fisher. Then I went to Cam Evans from Zane Trace. I think actually you and I, Shane, had him at the same place. We just had a couple of, kind of a different, names before him. But you talk about Cam Evans, and to me, he's a future player of the year candidate. He may be even a future player of the year, for Gary Kellogg's Pioneers in Kenny Kinnick. He's just so young, so raw in a talent sense, but he does so much, for Zane Trace's offense. He's kind of the motor that keeps it running. We talked about maybe a Logan Swackham or a Tanner Perdue who makes their other teammates better. Cam Evans makes his teammates better. And to me, in a point guard, that's the main characteristic that I'm looking for. How do your other teammates play when you're on the floor? And they play better when Cam Evans is there. So I went Gabe Fisher, Cam Evans. Then I went Bryce Newland. Everything you said about Bryce Newland was spot on for me, Shane. I mean, average is double-double. But the most important thing that you said was when other coaches give him the attention that he gets, it's well warranted and it's almost a compliment because guess what? You also have Dylan Swingle on the floor. So if a lot of coaches say, well, we're going to let Dylan Swingle get him, but we're going to try to focus on Newland and shutting him down. That's a compliment to me You know, if I'm Bryce Newland, I'm taking that as a compliment. So I put him at number three. And then I've got Peyton Hill there at number four in the 6 or 10. So I guess Newland's at number eight. Hill's at number nine for me. You know, like you said, Shane, just so good in a basketball sense and a skill-wise and a technique-wise. You know, if other than Dylan Swingle, down low, you know, constantly down low, you know, Peyton Hill's right up there with Isaac Beam for me. I just kind of made that decision with Isaac Beam because I felt like he deserved that a little bit. You know, his averages are better. I went off stats. But Peyton Hill can kind of stretch the floor for Unyoda as well. He's got that three-point shot where, you know, maybe a Beam or a Swingle doesn't, although Dylan Swingle would tell you he has a three-point shot. But for me, Peyton Hill was right there in the number nine spot. And then in the number 10 spot, you know, I went a little bit different here. I went with the Dean of Zach Fout. You know, I think that, you know, he's an athletic kid. Obviously, to me, the best player on Adina's team, the most pure scorer. I think he could be in a player of the year running next year with a much improved Adina team. Kyle Bradley, Coach Kyle Bradley out there at Adina has really utilized him well this year. And he, to me, you know, I think we talk about the kids that maybe have had underappreciated years or maybe overlooked years because of the records and the accomplishments that other kids have gotten this year. Zach Fout, you know, kind of fits that description. You know, I found myself in writing, you know, about other accomplishments. Oh yeah, Zach Fout, he's at Adina. Mm-hmm. That's on me. That's my fault because Zach Fout played well every night. So leads the Warriors in scoring. You know, barring unforeseen circumstances, he'll do the same next year, and I think he'll be in that Player of the Year conversation. So I went to again number six, Gabe Fisher. And then after Cam Evans, Bryce Newland, Peyton Hill, Zach Fout.
Okay. As I look down through here, you guys only differ from – you've got the same personnel, different orders, with the exception of your 10th spot. But we'll see mm-hmm. how things go here in our third team, an honorable mention. And, Derek, you're up for third team.
Well, you know, Shane, you mentioned the guy I think that I lift out on my 6 through 10. That's who I led out with on my 11 through 15. Hmm. Huntington's Elijah McCloskey. You know, Elijah's just a true point guard. He, you know, if you look at a score on Huntington's team, you know, I know they went 3-19 this year, 3-18, whatever it was this year. Look, we know Elijah's the best team or the best player on that team. If a Huntington's going to have success, Elijah, there's so much pressure on Elijah's back every single night because he has to score 35 for them to be in the ball game right now. That's not because they don't have talent. That's just because they have inexperienced talent. I think Eric Snyder's a great coach, and I think he's going to get that ship turned around. I think we're going to see Huntington be a lot better next year. But Elijah McCloskey is going to be at the forefront of that turnaround. You know, this year I think he averages close to 14 points a game, close to 5 rebounds a game. But again, you know, if you're naming the top 11 kids in our league, and you don't put Elijah McCloskey in there, you maybe need to reevaluate the top 11 kids in our league because Elijah McCloskey deserves a spot in that top 11. Maybe, you know, for you, Shane, maybe even the top 10. And again, I always say this and because, you know, I like getting to know the kids and I like, you know, kind of talking to them outside or off the basketball court. Every time I'm at Huntington, Elijah McCloskey says, hey, you know, Derek, thanks for coming. Thank you for coming out to the township and covering us. We really appreciate it. And for me, you know, I don't know about you, Shane, but that goes in to where I put one of these kids on a list with their character. You know, obviously their play and their stats go into it too, but their character is also a, you know, maybe what do you want to call it? A counting point or whatever. Yeah, a consideration into where I put them on a list. And Elijah McCloskey's got character. Then I went with Rex Hartman of Southeastern. You know, you look at the run last year and to a regional semifinal, and Rex Hartman was their best, you know, shooter at least. You know, Rex Hartman's been Southeastern's best player all year long this year. You know, again, if you get him open beyond the arc, I mean, he's going to hit the shot. we saw that against Unyoda. Unyoda beat those guys 61-51, and Hartman just went nuts in the second half. And that's why that game was so close. I think Hartman's kept the Panthers in a lot of ball games this year. He's won a lot of ball games for the Panthers this year, not alone, but I mean, without his scoring, you know, they don't win nine games this year. So I got him at the number 12 spot. At the number 13 spot, I have Titans' Alex Blanton. Again, we look at overlooked players. Alex Blanton on the same team with Tanner Perdue is one of those kids. I just like the way he plays the game. He hustles. He brings tenacity. He brings an aggressiveness that, very rarely is matched each night. He can knock down shots when he wants. If Alex Blanton could shoot more, a little bit more consistently, I think he'd sneak into maybe the top eight, top nine, players in our league. Obviously, he comes from a good family with Kara Blanton over there at Piketon and the way she played the game. But the way he runs the floor, the way he puts a defensive pressure on opponents, I just really like the way that Alex Blanton plays the game. So I've got him at number 13. At number 14, I'm going with a freshman, Shane. I don't know if you've got him on your list, but if you don't, or if anybody doesn't know this name, they should. Watch out for this kid over the next 3 years. Jarrett Garrison of Edina has been an assist machine over his last six, seven, eight games. I think at one point he was averaging 9.9 assists over his like a five or six game period. These are real numbers. These aren't fluctuated stats, if you want to say. This kid's been scoring 11 points and dishing out 11 assists on a nightly basis. As a point guard for a future, that's what you look for. You want a kid who can score, but who can also pass and make that right pass, not turn the ball over, and make his teammates around him better. And Jarrett Garrison does that for me. Number 15, I go with Southeastern's Lane Ruby. Again, a point guard. I think his numbers kind of suffered this year, Shane. I'm not sure why. Maybe he was, playing more of a point guard, a true point guard role where they don't look to score first. But either way, top 15, I would feel almost wrong if I didn't put Lane Ruby in that top 15 just because of the talent level that he has. Rick Strasbaugh said earlier in the year to me, he said, "We know that when we have Lane Ruby on the floor, we have a chance to win any game." And I agree with that, because Lane Ruby showed that during a tournament run last year. He's shown that in glimpses this year. I think maybe to a lot of critics' opinions, he's had a little bit of a down year, but I'm confident he'll kind of bounce back from that. Either way, to me, that doesn't negate the talent that he has and the place that he should have on an all-league list. So I put Lane Ruby at number 15. Elijah McCloskey, number 11. Rex Hartman, number 12. Alex Blanton, number 13, Jarrett Garrison at 14, Lane Ruby at 15, and Bruce, we are still in order on Dr. Webb's list over here, right?
You are the man. You are definitely the man. I'll tell you what, we're going to go to Shane for his third team, and then we'll kind of discuss the honorable mention kids. How about if we do that? So let's go to Shane.
Sure. There at the top, remember I talked about how really when we went all the way as high as the fifth spot, all the way down to really 11 or 12, how you had people that probably from a talent perspective could argue anywhere from 5 to 12. And that makes a lot of sense here when I tell you that I'm going to start my third team with Rex Hartman and Zach Fout. I mean, Hartman and Fout probably statistically and from a talent perspective on many nights probably could push as high as fighting for the bottom of that first team or even the top of the second team. So it tells you how much depth we have in our conference and individuals when you consider, you heard Derek use the name McCloskey, and now you hear me using names like Hartman and Fout to start my third team. That certainly tells. To me, what separates it here a little bit is just the depth of talent that maybe they get to play with in terms of their on their team. Hartman certainly can really, really shoot it, can really score it. One of the elite three-point shooters in our league, and at his size doesn't need a whole lot of space to get it off. With Fout, he's really an improved player, can shoot the three, can score on the drive, can score in transition. As I get down through my list, talking to honorable mention, talking to depth, I just think Southeastern's and Adina's depth maybe is what dropped them a little bit for me when I was trying to really look for some nitpicky things. There at the bottom of my second team, my next two spots, I I look to the point guard position on some of these teams. I think you can't get too much further down without the Alex Blanton pick. And when you consider where Piketon was, as good as Tanner Perdue is, I think Blanton is certainly a top 15 player. And then Lane Ruby's a great pick here as well. You know, Lane Ruby's a kid that just, again, the eye test, forget all the statistics for a minute, just watch him impact the game with his speed and with his ball handling. He can score it. He gets other people involved. His defense is outstanding. I have him in the 14th spot. And then as I get down to the 15th spot, if it's okay, Bruce, I'll just kind of transition off of the bottom of this to maybe think out loud a little bit into my honorable mention.
Okay, yeah.
But the I would have a hard time shutting Westfall out this year from the standpoint of Austin Nunnemaker, just because of I think he got off to a slow start. But I think, again, similar to McCloskey, I think people threw so much at this kid that he's playing 29 to 32 minutes a night. He's doing a lot of ball handling. He's defending. He's being asked to score a little bit. I certainly don't want to overlook Jay Wyman's specialty of the three-point shot, him pushing almost, 60 threes this year. I know he's pushing a school record there. So I don't want to overlook Wyman's ability to do that. I just think as the complete player, for me, I would go Austin Nunnemaker here in this 15th spot to make sure that he was represented. So I know that drops Jay Wyman to the honorable mention list. I certainly thought about Zane Trace, giving them a three with them being in the outright second spot with Davidson, Odell, and Nesser. I just thought there was so much balance there. Mm-hmm. I mentioned on Southeastern Nadina, maybe what pushed me toward a Bryce Newland or toward Elijah McCloskey. I love the Garrison pick there. When Blevins was with the team, when Fogelsongs, those types of kids, that entire freshman class too. The depth, I thought Adina and Southeastern's depth, a Wheeler comes to mind. I thought their depth was what separated them from Huntington and Westfall at the bottom of the standings compared to those two teams. You know, so sure, McFadden, Hamlin, Grubb, I know with Paint Valley, they had a little bit more depth as well. So when you got into the top six teams, I think you just had more of a depth of roster than the bottom two teams had. You know, although a Jay Wyman, a Seth Beeler certainly could be a realistic look there. And then the only other ones I wanted to mention, I would have probably went Zane Trace as a third before I went Piketon, but I do think what Reeder did on the defensive end for Piketon with the ability to take the charge and as a great help defender and as a rebounder, even Veach, I know, has had some big games for Piketon. I think they're at least worthy of mention. But I don't know. You felt, Derek. I think even though there's nothing wrong with having honorable mention to honor kids that had, you know, good years that were on the radar, it seemed like to me on the boys' list, I started with a list of about, you know, 14, 15, 16 names, and then to go beyond that, it could stretch out to 25. But it seemed like the 15 or so were pretty, I don't want to say cut and dry, but it seems like you and I were on the same page pretty much throughout the night here, a little bit more than we were last week, maybe.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, you even mentioned the two kids from Westfall from Wyman and Nunnemaker's standpoint. I mean, I had those guys on the honorable mention. So, you know, I think that the guys that you didn't have maybe in the first 15 – they were the first guys on 16, 17, 18 for me. And as you said, during, you know, maybe the all-conference list, first, second, third teams, you know, I think we had pretty much the same names. We just maybe had them a little bit of a different order.
Yeah, you guys actually, out of the top 15, you had Jared Garrison at number 14, and Shane had Austin Nunnemaker at 15. Every other one, different order, same personnel, though. So I would say that's pretty good.
And I would be surprised if the official list isn't pretty close to that, at least in the top 13 names. I know there's no way the official list will load up Uniota at the top like I did. That's just my personal preference on mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're going to be in the list somewhere, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm anxious to see that. Usually about Wednesday morning is okay. When that comes out there.
Okay. Well, you will get yours out Monday night at 7 o'clock when we publish, and we'll just have to compare those two lists then. That'll be interesting to do. So good job, gentlemen. And thank you, Derek, so much for giving them an order. My OCD is relinquished there. So
see, I'm not gonna lie, Shane, Bruce, during the day, you know, yeah, when I was making this list, I thought to myself, if I don't put these in order, I'm going to get yelled at.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's what happened. That's why they're in order.
I think.
Hey, Bruce sets a standard on SVC Sports Talk. I just want to make sure.
So somewhere in the good book, it says bring up a child there like you're supposed to or something like that. So we're doing that, Derek, just a little bit here. Guys, we need to head to our fast break now. Brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club, Shane.
Oh, yeah. Crown Hill Golf Club. Let's give them a second mention. 740-986-4653. Make sure you check out their website. You can get there off of our website there. Check them out. That they're doing some different things. Get you some tee times set up. Or I still say the best thing to do from SVC Sports Talk standpoint is to call them, 740-986-4653. Tell them that the boys from SVC Sports Talk sent you, and that you're interested in putting together some sort of package where you might be able to come up there two times, three times, four times, five times, whatever it may be. And they'll be real good to you to try to help you get started there. It's a really nice course. It's a course that it's really good to SVC, really good to our Southeast District and our high school kids. So certainly love every opportunity we get. This week, we got a little mixed bag here. Derek, you'll go first. I'll follow up. Let's go ahead and go to the Crown Hill Golf Club fast break.
Fair or unfair? It was suggested on Twitter this week that we undervalue assists and overvalue points.
You know, I think the sentiment of this, you know, that we do undervalue assists is fair. However, I think that, you know, when you say we overvalue points, I think that's unfair. So I'm kind of, I don't know, I mean, maybe I'm kind of, in, you know, an in-between here. I think they're on the right track. Maybe we do undervalue assists. We don't look at those as much. We don't report on those as much. I certainly don't write about that as much. But you play to win the game. And you know, as I believe what a famous football coach once said, I believe it was Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. You know, you don't win the game without scoring points. And so I think that when you look at it in immediate sense, you know, when you break an all-time scoring records, when you're breaking all, you know, the school's scoring record or whatever it may be, 1,000 points of, you know, single game scoring records, you know, you're scoring and you're winning the game. I mean, you know, I think, again, is it fair that we undervalue assists? Yes. But I also think it's unfair that you say we overvalue points because, I mean, let's face it, when you go out on a basketball court, what are you trying to do? You're trying to score the ball. Now, having said that, I think you have to, maybe if you're a point guard or, you know, even a shooting guard that you know, maybe racks up a lot of assists, that those assists leads to scoring points, sure. But the act of actually scoring the points, you know, being that player that puts the ball in the bucket, you know, to me, there's nothing like that.
I think this is completely unfair. I think when if you look at what's changed from the last generation to this generation, it's things like SBC Sports Talk. It's like SBCSportsZone.com. It's like the increased work of Derek Webb. It's the increased media coverage that brings more attention to the point guards. I think we named all eight point guards somewhere, all the way down to our honorable mention list between the two of us just a second ago. I think what happens with points is you're always going to cover points, or just like you're always going to cover yards in football, or you're going to cover kills or whatnot. When we give an extra attention to points in certain cases, we're talking about in the history of 60, 70, 80 years, two kids and Dylan Swingle and Ellis Geens that are setting marks that are in the history of the conference. Or, you know, if we talked about Alexi Woods getting to the top 10 in that conference, finishing ninth all time. So I think when we come across rare cases, we're even going to overemphasize points even more. But I would say unfair from the standpoint of that I think the point guard position, and I think the intangibles of the game, the rebounding, the assists, the steals, I think are highlighted more today than they ever dreamed about being highlighted, say, 20 years ago.
What are a few of the biggest differences for a team competing in the SVC for 14 games compared to trying to get hot this time of year and make a run at a sectional, district, or even a regional championship?
Well, you know, I mean, for me, obviously the biggest difference is you're not familiar maybe with the teams you're playing. A lot of the tournament draws, other than I believe Southeastern St. Tracy's girls, you know, nobody was paired up against the other. you know, in an SVC type of sense. So that differs from a lot of the previous years where I've seen that happen. I was happy when those seeds came out, and because you're going to get to see a lot of our conference opponents, you know, maybe not play against each other. They're going to play against, you know, a Northwest or an Eastern Brown or a Minford or whoever it may be. So they're not going to be familiar with each other. I think that changes the game plan. I think that changes the way that you're going to see them play. Maybe ball, you know, ball handlers, you know, who you're going to give the ball to, or maybe who you're going to mold your own game plan against. I think that's going to change. Not with a Swingle, with a Purdue, maybe not as much. Sure, they're your main scorers. But if you're a Uniota, if you're a Southeastern, Westfall, maybe even a Zane Trace, you know, against like a 7'1" Loveday, who the Pioneers have to play, you have to change your game plan because you're not going to be able to give the ball to Isaac Beam down low much during that game. I mean, you know, Isaac Beam's what, 6'2", 6'1"? Zach Loveday from Gallia is 7'1". So, you know, there's a lot of different, you know, matchups, individual matchups we haven't seen before. You know, and at the same time, you know, I also think that when you say compared to trying to get hot this time of year, you have to really gain momentum in a different type of sense against it. Shane, I know maybe I'll get some flack for this, but officiating is different in the tournaments. You have to gain momentum through a more physical type of play at the tournament level. We've seen that with the girls already. We're going to see that with the boys as well. So I think you got a few maybe factors, you know, coming up in that.
Well, I think the first thing is competition. When you consider, like, let's just use Piketon and Paint Valley, for example. All of a sudden now, Uniota and Zane Trace, two teams that present quite a challenge, they're on the Division II. Now, all of a sudden, you're kind of the big dogs on the block. Here you come in. I think now I've seen Portsmouth. I think Portsmouth is really, really good. But I think Paint Valley and Piketon are you know, arguably two of the top, I don't know, four or five teams in the entire run to a district title. So I think that's the first thing, is competition in terms of the way it goes. I think the second thing is it's just a one and done format. If you're a team that can shoot the three a little bit, you know, you can get hot. You can have a special day from the floor. It doesn't matter what the regular season record is, if you shoot it well. That gives you an opportunity. And plus, I think you're at the end of a line where if you were a team that was a little bit young or a little bit unprepared in the first round of the league, where you could have played yourself out of a league title race, you are in a situation now where those role players or those first-year varsity players have 22 games under the belt. And that makes a big difference, too, when they start to get onto this stage and they get that opportunity to go. So I just think there's a lot of cool things that in the NCAA, we always say it's those moments that make March March. In high school, it's the same concept of come tournament time. It's those little unique details that make tournament basketball so fun to watch.
What do you think will be the biggest factor to consider when looking at which teams will be favored in next year's SVC basketball races?
Well, for me, I think there's a couple of factors, and they kind of go hand in hand. You got personnel and experience, and I think the experience in your personnel is really that biggest factor, if you would. You know, we obviously know that Uniota is going to lose a lot. We know that Zane Trace is going to bring back a lot. So when you look at those two teams, and I mean, I'm not saying Zane Trace is the favorite. I'm saying that, you know, Uniota, they're complete opposites. I mean, you know, Uniota is going to have to rebuild where Zane Trace is going to have to reboot. So, you know, I think that's the biggest factor to me when I'm looking at, you know, maybe returning, you know, Letterman returning, you know, head coaches. If they've got that same head coach, a lot of the same players in place, you know, I think that, you know, you're going to be favored in next year's SVC basketball race.
Well, it's impossible. I almost hate that this has to be my answer, but in order to do my job correctly, I think the answer has to be you almost have to consider what kind of transferring or moving could take place in the off season. And again, I hate to have to go down that route, but it's just me doing my job.
and it's the correct answer. I mean, when you look at throughout our conference, when you look at a Tanner Purdue coming back to Piketon, and you look at what that happened, when you look at, you know, going back 4 or 5 years, when a Logan Swackhammer comes into Uniota or a Peyton Hill comes into Uniota, obviously that's, you know, obviously impacted the league a great deal. When I look through the rosters on the girls' side, the same way, you know, and it's unfortunate that this climate kind of takes over. Like I'll hear the talented young lady coming into the Huntington program. I've had like 3 or 4 people either through text or through email or through even talking to me say, "Is she stays?" And I'm thinking to myself, "What do you mean if she stays? She's been at Huntington her whole life. Her family's at Huntington. Huntington's girls basketball team's won 15 games 3 years in a row now, or whatever it's been. Like, what? Where's she going? You know what I mean? Like, those things blow my mind. Like." But I think it's a factor of when you go to answer this, you always have to say, based on the way the rosters are right now, here's what I think. But obviously, when you start getting these kids moving place to place, it can stir things up in a hurry.
Forgetting about any of the factors from the previous question, who are the teams who will take the bullseye as the teams to beat for next season?
Well, if you're starting on the girls' side, I mean, I think it's Uniota's girls. You know, you look at what they did this year with the shared conference title, when maybe Southeastern was supposed to win an outright title after a 22-point win over Uniota earlier in the season. Uniota comes back. They kind of gain that momentum later in the season. Shane really took a tough loss to Washington Saturday in a sectional final. You know, I really think not only do we see Uniota win the conference title next year, maybe I'm putting that bullseye on them, but they know they have it anyways. You know, I think we see them win a conference title. I think we see them compete for a district title next year as well. On the boys' side, I kind of mentioned it in the previous question. You have to look at Zane Trace when you consider, Uniota losing that Big Four and Piketon losing Tanner Purdue. I think Uniota and Piketon will still be in the mix. Peyton Valley, obviously, you know, will have Newland and McFadden and Grubb and Hamlin, but they lose Dylan Swingle. You know, so I think you look at Zane Trace, who brings pretty much everybody back. I think Isaac Beam obviously is a big loss for them. But when you're talking about bringing Cam Evans, Triton Davidson, Nick Nesser, you know, Luke Johnson, Colby Swain, all of those guys back, you know, into a system that Gary Kello has a chance, you know, to implement, you know, 2 years over, Zane Trace has to be the favorite on the boys' side as well.
Yeah, I can't disagree on the girls' side in terms of the team to beat. I think what's interesting for Uniota is I know that there's a lot of really talented kids now that are halfway through their career, and I just wonder how much the frustration is going to fuel them in terms of their postseason going into the offseason. I think that they've grown up where they as individuals and their families have invested a lot into basketball, and you know, now as they go into the second half of their career, I think there's a lot of just things that are a little, you know, left undone. I think the SBC is going to be something that that they're going to be highly favored to do, but I think for them their goals are going to go far beyond that. Obviously, around the league, we mentioned Huntington, the ability that they're going to have to be very, very talented. With Woods being gone to Paint Valley, they do return 4 or 5 kids that have had some starting experience there. But yeah, Uniota is going to set a pretty high bar there. On the boys' side, I don't disagree with anything you just said with Zane Trace in terms of being picked. But I'll tell you, the team that's going to have the bullseye still on them, Derek, is Uniota. I mean, True. Because there's you know, every team in the league basically is, it's been 8 or 9 straight times now since they've beaten Uniota last. They're going to look for that opportunity. You know, Uniota's still going to have a pretty talented starting five when you break it down. You know, obviously JV, I know Piketon had a nice JV team this year. Uniota, West Falls, Zane Trace had solid JV teams, but honestly, JV, a lot of the JV basketball I watched this year, the second half of the year, got far more competitive. The difference was simply the numbers of kids playing in the programs and the ability to have kids play, you know, 2, 3, 4 quarters, whatever it may be. So that'll be interesting to see how some of those kids correlate to the varsity level. But yeah, I mean, I think Zane Trace is going to draw a lot of attention, but I still think Uniota is going to wear the bullseye until someone knocks him off, you know, at the beginning of next year.
And that is our Fast Break, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call, 740-986-4653, and see if you can't work out something with them there that would be amiable to you. Tell them the boys from SVC Sports Talk sent you. Well, guys, I'm sure with the publication of the boys' SVC teams, we'll get some feedback, and the way that they can provide that feedback, first they can get a hold of Derek at the Chillicothe Gazette by emailing him, drwebb@thechillicothegazette.com. You can also direct message him on Twitter, where he has the verified account at DW1509. And where for Shane, best way, probably email admin1@svcsportzone.com. You can catch up with him on Facebook, where he maintains two profiles there. Or you can also contact him on Twitter as well. And then his handle there at svcsportzone.com. And if you're listening to this, obviously you're doing so tonight or today, whenever you're listening. But we'd like for you to consider subscribing to our podcast. You can do that through iTunes, where you can also give us a favorable rating if you would do so. You can also do it through Stitcher, and you can subscribe by email on the DBK Media Services website. And each of the posts contain a place where you can put your email address in there. You hit the submit button, you'll get a confirmation email, and you must accept that confirmation email to get the emails when we do publish an episode. We move now into our post-game comments, brought to you again by C&K Athletic Equipment, located right now at 106 West Main Street in Circleville, 740-477-9828. Best way right now, since they're in a state of flux, you might want to follow them on Facebook. They seem to be publishing quite a bit of information on Facebook recently about their move, and they just had the moving sale on February the 16th and 17th, I do believe. So they'll be giving more information about where they're moving to. We do believe it's going to be down in Chillicothe. And they are your source for SVC apparel, fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and sports equipment. We do have the change of seasons, as Shane alluded to earlier, coming up. And so you're going to be needing some baseball and softball and track kind of gear now, and they're your place to do it. They also do custom screen printing, custom embroidery, and they've got a full line of corporate wear. That's C&K Athletic Equipment. Well, guys, we're entering tournament season, and just kind of as a capper tonight, what's a headline, storyline, a game to watch, a player to watch? Just give the fans one or two things that you're kind of looking forward to in the upcoming week. We'll go to Derek for this first.
Well, I mean, you know, for me, obviously, Thursday night, Southeastern plays Eastern Brown, the district semifinal, the girls, and you know, I mean, that's the number one kind of game I'm looking forward to this week because of one thing. Well, I guess two things. One, it's going to be a really good game.
Yeah.
It's good basketball, two good, very, very good teams. So I'm excited to watch the game. But when you look at what Ella Skeens can accomplish, she can, you know, pass Crystal Tharp to be the conference's all-time leading scorer with 17 points. She needs 16 to tie, 17 to beat. That's pretty special. We just went through this with Dylan Swingle this past week. We're going to go through this again, hopefully, you know, on Thursday night to be able to witness history. You know, Shane, look, for Scioto Valley Conference fans, to have that chance to get the boys and the girls to see it live, mm-hmm. you know, to break the all-time leading scores. When you're talking about Matt Combs and Crystal Tharp, to break those players' records twice in a week period, that's, you know, that's never maybe – I'm going to go out and say it. That's never going to happen again, not in the same week. It's never yeah. going to happen again. That's pretty special, and, you know, that's kind of the headline. Both well, that's the headline, the storyline, the game to watch, and the player to watch this year for me.
Well, I certainly can't argue with anything. Dylan Swingle, Wellis Keynes. Obviously, Dylan is most likely in his first game going to pass the county record. You mentioned Ella as well on the SVC record. I'll kind of maybe out of all my notes here, Bruce, to kind of cap us off, well, let's look at my headline here. I think, how about a postseason pick me up? Okay. Obviously it was a tough weekend for our girls, which Derek and I kind of predicted. We were trying to stay optimistic throughout the year. I think we kind of felt like it was coming. You know, Southeastern survives the weekend. Obviously Huntington's still in. The weather
push them back to Monday night, as we're recording here on Sunday night. Obviously, they're probably an underdog on paper against a good North Adams team, but, you know, North Adams, you know, certainly a team that, you know, Huntington can compete with. The I think the postseason picked me up on the boys' side. I think the boys have the opportunity to maybe pick our conference up a little bit. I still love our top couple teams, their draw that they have there at Waverly. Hopefully it can work out for them. I think this Uniota team, as they finished the other night, I heard, you know, Coach Hoops is a former teammate of mine, a good friend of mine. I sensed in his voice for the first time after that game the other night, maybe just a sense of accomplishment. It was almost like it was the first time he allowed himself to step back and see it. And the reason I mention that is if they survive their sectional where they're a heavy favorite, Division II is so crazy difficult at the convo. If this Uniota team, for the first time in their career, has some pressure off and they're able to relax and play, yeah, I just wonder if there's still not a whole scary level that they can go to still. So that's something to maybe keep an eye on too. There is a storyline, but a headline of a postseason pick me up. I think maybe our boys, there's two or three teams that have the opportunity to push toward a district championship, and I'll be anxious to follow that. But guys, I appreciate you sticking with me on a long show here. These shows where we do our all leagues, we know is always going to stretch out closer to the hour, 20 hour and a half mark, like it did last week, again this week. But I think it's worth it because I think we used to put them on the website. Never since about 3-4 years ago, we went to strictly just SVC Sports Talk to putting them out. I think the numbers show that people really enjoy the shows and they're willing to listen. And next week is going to be our final winter show. And we've been building all year on the numbers of basketball and how much the game means to me and how concerned I am at the numbers. And we're looking at some of the impacts on the girls' game. We mentioned volleyball. We mentioned some of the physicality. But we're also going to look on the boys' side as well. We're going to maybe tie it to some little league and some different things going on. And we're going to hope to have some input from people throughout the area. And that'll put a capper on our winter shows. And then as we get to the spring, you know, maybe we'll even tease them, Derek, a little bit with some spring stuff at the end of next week.
Absolutely.
And then we'll come back and we'll do a baseball, softball preview and maybe even throw a little love to track and do some different things there. But we'll definitely take a couple weeks off or 3 weeks or so before we get back at it. But you know, Bruce and Derek, I appreciate all your hard work. I hope the fans enjoy. Let us know what you think of our girls team from last week as our boys team from this week. And until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all of our other great sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and the people behind the scenes and at DBK Media Services, and for Derek Webb, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.